It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU. Monday nights at 7, BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins KSL for an insider look at the BYU football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It is the Players Club. The crowd goes wild. Speaking of the crowd going wild, another 60-plus thousand at LaBelle Edwards Stadium on Saturday night. I was honestly sitting there thinking to myself, well, I don't know, those first two games, those were big opponents, bigger opponents. Who knows what's going to happen here? We might see some emptier parts of the stadium. No can do. The crowd has been on fire this year at LaBelle Edwards Stadium. Joining us right now on the Players Club, Jaren Hall, quarterback for BYU. Jaren, how you feeling this week, man?
Good, man. It was a good weekend. Great win for the team. It's fun to be there with the fans, man, to see all 60,000 plus. So, I mean, not much more you can ask for. I'm doing good.
Last week we asked you the same question. How are you feeling? I mean, you did media after the game, and we were like, I said, look, I go, Scott, dude, they don't let these guys do media after the game if they're not going to be playing the next week. Mm. He's going to be playing. And you even said, hey, I feel pretty good. What changed between Monday and Saturday? Was it just I'm progressing?
I'm still waiting for the wind to come back is all. You know, they got the wind knocked out of me. It just hasn't returned yet. So that's all it was. We'll see, man.
We saw that. We saw the not even close to a doppelganger version of you on the sideline that ESPN showed up on the screen, which I know must have hit your timeline about a million times as well. So there was this part of us there going, I think he's hidden somewhere. I mean, he must be under the stadium, must be tied up.
Well, he has a double.
He has a
better looking double.
it's a good thing to have a double these days on the sideline.
Yeah, at what point during the week? Like, do you know that you can't play? Are you trying to get back? What goes through that process?
It's just day by day. You know, you just evaluate every day with the trainers and doctors. You see what you're capable of doing on the field after warm-ups. So, I mean, it's tough. But, just day by day.
You say it's tough because I assume because you were probably just as upset about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because most guys, we were talking about this before, it's just – nobody wants to go, you know, I'll take this week off. South Florida, no. We're favored by 23. Obviously, you know, you watch the game unfold the way it did. And by the end, I think there were a lot of fans going, oh, it's a little tight here. How would you evaluate Baylor Romney, though, in that fill-in role that he played this weekend? Obviously, scoring 28 points in the first half was a nice way to get started.
No, not surprised at all. Baylor went and balled out. I mean, that's what he always does. So he was lights out, threw the ball really well. He was in total control the whole game. And, you know, from first day of practice last week, we knew what to expect from him. He's looked good. So, I mean, just doing his thing. Super happy for him and super pumped for our team.
How much practice do you need each week? So, like, because everyone gets banged up. I mean, I think this injury thing is interesting. And you're trying to figure out, like, that's why I asked you a question. Because for me, when I played, it was like, okay, I feel terrible on Wednesday. But Thursday, I can stand up now.
Yeah,
and I get all that, but like, how much practice time do you need? Because No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as a quarterback, you definitely. I think you need a little more than other positions, right? You got a lot more things going on, more responsibilities every play. I think more things to go through in the practice against a live look. So, I mean, you definitely need at least a full day of a padded practice to go through full team sessions, if not more. And so for us, it's usually, by Thursday is our last practice before walkthroughs Friday. So I mean, like you said, Thursday at the latest. I've never been in that situation where I've practiced Thursday and then played, but I'd imagine that'd be the latest, you know. But for other positions, it could be different, right? Guys could, you know, receivers or whoever could probably sit out a whole week and get ready Friday, right. Saturday if they're healthy. But, yeah, definitely the quarterback position, man. You got to get as many reps as you can to stay fresh and keep the mind sharp.
Looking at this week, obviously, you know, this is one of those this is a game for you. Last time that you guys were up in Logan, you got that start and you had a heck of a go at it. You were going, I mean, speaking of putting up big numbers and lighting the place up, and then you get injured in that game against Utah State a couple of years ago. So what's the thought of going back to Utah State this week and your preparation for going to a Utah State team that's 3-1 this year, but has one of the best offenses in the entire country?
Yeah, I'm so freaking pumped. I know the team is today in practice, man. Monday is usually a day, you know, where you kind of come back, you watch the film from USF, just kind of get over the game, then move on. But today there's different sets of urgency. You know, with the shortened week, you know, you have one less day. We play Friday, but everyone's just so excited. I mean, it's such a fun place to play. It's been 2 years since we've been able to play there. You know, they have a great start to their season. They're a really good team, and so we're just looking forward to the matchup, the rivalry, you know, and just to play away, you know, to be at another team's stadium, to feel that energy that's there from their opposing team. It's just fun, man. We're excited.
Well, that's really interesting. So sometimes, you know, you don't want to do it, but you kind of, it's good to take a step back, you know, and you're injured. You're not in the game. You're watching it from the sidelines.
Yeah.
But it gives you a chance to see the game from a different, like, perspective.
Yeah.
So what did you see last week that after being in and playing on a consistent basis, you go, oh, yeah, that it kind of clicked in your head, and it'll help you moving forward?
Yeah, I just think the way you play the first snap of the game to the very end, it should all be the same. You know, I think fast start has been what we've been looking for all season, and we did that this week. And so being able to step back and to see how we did that, it kind of registered in my mind, okay, this is what I need to do next time I'm out on the field. This is how I need to approach it. So for me, it was that, and we did a great job. We got off fast and really didn't slow down the whole game.
Do you guys pay much attention to the ranking stuff? I mean, it's like a cliche question and a cliche answer. Usually, like, we don't pay attention to that stuff. But at the same time, like, I mean, the pressure's on you guys. You have to feel a little bit of that where you're like, look, two years in a row starting 4-0, but this time around feels different because you have those three Pac-12 wins. You beat a team that you had a hard time with a couple of years ago, and then you're going up to Utah State with all this swagger, with all this momentum. Yeah. And so do you look at those and say, yeah, we want to live up to that ranking, or do you go, I'm not even going to think about it?
Not a single bit at all. I think when we're in the walls of our facility and our practice field, it's about us. You know, it's about getting better every day. It's not about what the media say or you know, anybody outside of that building. So, and all that outside influence just goes out the window. We just go to work. And so, you know, that's not even on our minds, honestly.
Alex squinted his eyes. Like, he was like, yeah.
Well,
but
like,
it's true, though.
You don't believe me, huh?
I'm one of those selfish guys. I'm like, that's about me a little bit. Yeah. I mean,
I do believe you because you can't get distracted with things on the outside.
Easily.
You got to dial into what you
And it's happened in the past. You know, it's happened to us recently, right. You know, in the last couple of years. So, no, I think it's just a new team, very, very mature, and honestly, it's never even mentioned. So, full honesty, man. Yeah, we just look forward to the next game.
I never read the paper. I never watched any of that stuff.
Later, though, because there's a lot of writers.
Even when things were good.
Yeah, maybe Monday morning, you know, you get on social media, you might see it, be like, yeah, it's kind of cool, you know, or Sunday,
well,
whenever they
social media,
it.
We didn't have that back then.
Well, not just that. Not just that.
We didn't have cell phones.
Scott still hates people from the Detroit Free Press when he was playing for the Lions. He's like, oh, those are
Tom Kowalski.
The newspapers that come out every Sunday, is that what that was?
He was like, I am not. He's like, these guys, they're people. Peter King from Sports Illustrated is like, you can't mention that name on the show. He starts going bonkers. So I mean, like, there's a part where you have to, like, kind of just balance the fact that you're going to get information anyway,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
you can't hide from it.
Yeah,
you can't drink the poison though, man. Yep. That's it. You know, you see it, laugh at it, enjoy it, and then just get over it.
You said this rivalry week. What makes Utah State a big rivalry for BYU? Is it the boot?
No, it's the wagon wheel.
Oh, no, the wagon wheel, baby.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Got to hold on to the wagon wheel. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just, you know, historically always been the case. You know, they're up north and same state. I feel like all, you know, teams in the same state, over time you become a rivalry. And to us, that's what it is. You know, it's always a goal of ours to win all the rivalries every year. you know, with Utah State, Boise State, you know, those are games that we really, you know, get ready for and enjoy to play in. So it's always a goal to win those rivalries, and Utah State's right there, one of them. So we'll be ready to go and excited.
Well, the next couple of weeks, a couple of rivalries horizon here. We'll take our first break here. Jaren Hall on the Players Club right here on KSL News Radio. We're going to come back. We'll ask a little bit more about what to expect from a Utah State defense, what looks they're going to be getting. And I want to know more, a little bit more about what Jaren's doing preparation-wise. Stay healthy. We're going to stay right here. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled and KSL News Radio.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and BYU's Jaren Hall.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Our guest, of course, is Jaren Hall, starting quarterback for BYU. Jaren, I got a question for you about your watching other levels of football, like pro football, high school football, or maybe even college football. But do you watch it at all? And if you do, like, what kind of insight do you get? Do you, like, say, hey, I like what that guy does there. I like how – I'm just curious.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love watching college football. I mean, Saturdays are – that's the only thing that's nice about having an 8:15 kickoff time is you get to watch so much football all day before
get it
the
all
game,
before you start.
You know, so I love watching college football, but I do enjoy watching NFL football too. I mean, the past has been tough because I don't have cable, but recently able to find some ways to get back on that. So recently started watching the NFL again, but I love watching a couple guys in the NFL. Well, just trying to learn from
who do you like?
We were just watching this Monday night game and we're watching Dak Prescott, and I thought, you know, I think Dak Prescott is one of those guys that goes, well, one, I've had a terrible injury to my leg, but then he goes, but he's also able to sling it. I mean, tonight he's the Cowboys are up 20-7 right now. He's 14 for 15 for 155 yards in the first half. I mean, just into the second quarter, so he's killing it. And this is a guy who was like, I didn't have to do any preseason work, and he worked his tail off in the offseason. And then Scott goes, you know what, Jaren Hall reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott. Like, yeah, he can run, but you know what? Like, he's worked on that throwing game.
Yeah.
And he's really – do you look at somebody and go, I pattern my game a little bit after that person or these people I look up to?
It's funny you talk about Dak. I was able to watch him work out a little bit out there in California with John Beck. Mm-hmm. And he's a heck of a hard worker, man. So I recently actually started watching him a lot. Learned a couple of things from him and his game. But all my life, really, I've kind of modeled my game after Russell Wilson a little bit.
That's always
kind of been my dude, you know, height-wise and kind of play style, very similar. So I've always watched him and appreciated his grind.
Everybody
his work
tries
ethic.
To figure that guy out, too, because they're going, right? Well, he's not a running quarterback, but he'll get 78 yards
he's
in a game.
He's very athletic.
Right, on five rushes where he just he'll just burn you, and he'll walk out of bounds because he doesn't need to get into it.
Yeah, right. But it's,
I think
it's
he's
so
always
hard.
Played in a good system with good linemen. He's always been a drop-back dude under center in college at Wisconsin and NC State. So he's never played in that, you know, that West Coast running gun, you know, shotgun type system where you can scramble. He's always just drop back and put the ball where it needs to be.
We got a couple texts here that said that I was not clear enough. They were like, is Jaren playing this weekend then? I didn't get an answer. So what's the answer?
I will be there.
It's a question you can't ask because you know you're going to get the answer.
They're going to show a picture of me on the side like Jaren Hall is here at the game. They'll be like, come on, you guys keep missing it. All right. Well, we'll take that with a grain of salt and just figure out. I guess you learned your lesson last week. You're like, no, I'm feeling good. I'm totally good.
I guess,
to go.
Yeah, day by day. I feel good. I'll be out there, man.
All right.
So you got a shorter week this week, and it's harder because you don't have as much time to you know, get better. But how is the preparation different with a shorter week?
Yeah, I think all that's different is really, you know, we didn't watch as much of the film from the game, right? We just got right into USU. We just got right into USU and started game planning for them and watching film on them. So really, it's just we just limited time we usually have all day of, you know, learning from the game film before. And coaches just sent out text Sunday saying, you know, we're going to move past that, get started right away. And so practice was a little longer today. We had a couple more team periods in to work on different parts of the game. So that's really all that's different, you know. And then obviously just the urgency in the building, you know, just to get ready. But you know, it was a good day.
Just to shift gears a touch here, and I know that, you know, this weekend it was horrible news, obviously, for the University of Utah and everybody here locally. Aaron Lowe's passing on Sunday, and, you know, everybody woke up with that terrible news. I just, you know, when you see stuff like that and you see Utah going through something like that, could you imagine what that would be like having to go through the loss of a teammate in the middle of a season like this?
No, it breaks your heart, man. I mean, prayers and thoughts. You know, I know our whole team is you know, to the best of our ability, you know, back in Utah football and the Lowe family. It's hard, man. And when I saw the news, it broke my heart. You know, all the teammates felt the same in our group chats and other things. And it's tragic. It really is. You know, at that age, to have something that tragic happen to you and your family, I mean, it's not something you're prepared for. And it's just, you know, something you learn from, just to treasure life and treasure your loved ones, your teammates, and just make the most of every day. You know, but it's such a sad situation. And, you know, we're really thinking about it and, you know, sending our prayers to the Utah family.
What kind of impact do you think it would have, and how do you as a team move forward from it?
I'm sorry, can you say it one more time?
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you have something really challenging, one of those mm-hmm. life events like that, yeah. you know, how do you move on from that? How do you, and this is just speculation on your part.
I've personally never had to go through something, you know, that severe in my family. You know, but I know from talking to others who have, and from my best guess of how I might handle it and those around me, I think you look to those around you, you know, you look to continue to do good. I mean, I think it'd be hard when you go through that to just kind of pull away and try to get over it yourself, but just to rely on other people, find ways to, you know, continue to grow and develop. But I'm, you know, with that, you know, pain comes, and you just got to find ways to endure for a little bit, because it's, you know, there's no way to ever completely get over that yeah. pain in the moment. But you just kind of endure it, and, you know, through time and patience, it eventually, you know, will pass. But
I would imagine, tough, man. I'd imagine it'd be tough. I mean, because you're in the middle of the season, you already have distractions that are, you know,
right.
And it's hard enough to win in general. You know?
Right.
It's
just, yeah. just having to go through grind. That kind of stuff is really tough
yeah,
to no, watch.
Yeah, it's a tough program, man. I mean, they've done it for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they'll bounce back, and that team will pull together, man. I know they will.
I can't believe we're already, you know, four games into the season. This always happens. We look up and we go, oh, it's October, and you guys are undefeated in September for the second year in a row. What does Utah State challenge you guys with this week up in Logan as a defense? What have you been looking at on film and you go, hey, this is what they do, and this is what they do really well?
Yeah, they got some good playmakers in their secondary and their linebacking core. Some smart guys, very instinctive. A couple guys that are very experienced that we even played against 2 years ago that are still there. So they'll bring that to the table. They bring some good pressures. And you really got to be dialed in, because if you're not, they might get you schematically wise. So we've really got to dial into the film and understand, you know, cues and tips for certain coverages. And but I think, you know, hopefully we'll be ready to go and we'll have a good game plan for them.
Where do you think the team needs to go? Where do you need to improve to continue to win and to continue to have a successful season? Because, you know, it's never perfect.
No, absolutely.
So what needs to get better?
Yeah, I think just everyone doing their 111th. You know, I mean, anyone who knows football will see every play someone is responsible for some part of the play. And, you know, you can sometimes mask mistakes, but overall, I mean, after Saturday's game, we played a very complete game. You know, offensively. And so for us, that was a good step forward. But now it's just focusing on the 111th, you know, because at the end of the day, it's team football, offense and defense. And so everyone just doing their 111th, focusing on that, and just continuing to stay humble, respect the game, and you know, just focus and get better.
What do you want to get better at? I mean, obviously getting out there, being healthy is one thing. Yeah. But when you look at your game and you go, okay, last time I was out there, I mean, obviously you go 3-0, Baylor comes in, gets another win, and then what do you look at and you go, man, I want to get better at X, Y, and Z before we can really kind of go to that next step?
I want to get better at not getting injured and letting guys get a piece of me is what I want to get better at.
That's a good – live for another down, man. That's a good way.
I feel like I've done a good job at, you know, just a weird freak incident. You know, guy got lucky, got a knee to my chest, whatever.
Yeah. All right, so I know what you're going to say to me, but I want you to be completely candid with me, Jaron. Mm-hmm. You have to get a first down. All right, this is to win the game. You have to get the first down. Yeah. Who do you trust most to make that? Not yourself, but who do you trust most to make that play for you?
I mean, what if I ask you that question? That's not very fair.
I'll tell you right now, Herman Moore. I'd do it in 10. It's not even a question.
But in the moment, would you say him?
It's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Oh, yeah. I might as well say it.
He was right, 6'4". He's like, he'd catch anything.
Well, I mean, third and 10?
Okay, third and 10.
Yeah, we'll give you a third and 10.
That's a...
Of course, we had Sanders, too. We just handed off to him. He could do anything.
Shoot, man. Every single guy on the freaking team.
I knew you'd say that. I know you'd say that. I knew that was going to be
I can't say anything else,
I know.
I see everybody every day, man. It's an awkward conversation I'm not going to have with anybody. You know what I mean? Oh, got to keep everyone happy. Hey, talk to me in 10 years from now.
Okay,
then, all right. You'll know. All right, then yeah, we'll get the real answer.
You've had some real playmakers this year. I mean,
yeah,
you see
got
this
a lot of
weapons,
so fun.
Man. It's been awesome.
It's been fun. Man.
It's been good to see these guys. I love the.
Are they all happy though? I mean, are some guys like
4-0? I sure hope so.
Everyone is happy. All right.
Isaac Rex text though. He said he wants more balls. He's got to get a few more touchdowns. His touchdown to catch ratio is ridiculous. It's like if he touches the ball, it's a touchdown. So,
that's right.
All right, Jaron, we'll talk to you again next week. Keep those ribs getting healthy and get that wind back, and we'll see you on Friday, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All righty. We'll be right back. We got more going on. We got news, traffic, and weather. We've got some highlights still to play for you and more to talk about. Stay right here with us. It's the Players Club right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
To the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU.
One.
Monday nights at 7, BYU quarterback Jaron Hall joins KSL for an insider look at the BYU football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL News Radio. It's the Players Club right here. Just had Jaron Hall join us on the program as he does every Monday to kind of break things down. We got the semi-definitive answer of he'll be there, and then it was I'll be out there. So kind of gave you like an I'll be out there on the field kind of a question.
It's got to be hard, though. But it's got to be hard. Here you guy that you've fought really hard in competition. You know, you quit baseball. You're all in, and you get out there, and the team's doing well. I'm telling you, it's got to be the worst thing in the world to be sitting on the sideline against a team that you know you're probably going to play very well against. You're going to have a big game. You know, it's like here Jaron's gone through all the Power Five gauntlet kind of games.
Now this is game he throws for 380 yards.
The icing on the cake. It's got to be a tough thing.
And then he has to hear something like this happen on Saturday night.
Gunner wide right, couple of twins left. One is including Nakua, who motions as they go play fake and they go deep down the middle. Baylor to Gunner again, makes the catch for the touchdown. Inside the five and walks in for six. BYU scores again, brother to brother, Baylor to Gunner.
Honestly, there were times of the game where there are a lot of people that are sitting up there in the stands or in the press box and they go, Baylor's got a nice deep ball, man. I mean, you have to know that everybody's going to be talking like that if you're Jaron Hall.
Well, that's why you don't want the other guy to go in. Ever. You don't ever want to give someone a sniff of the field.
You also have to be like, yeah, man, we knew he was going to go in and he's going to play really, really well. He's awesome.
Course.
He's great.
Look,
he's amazing.
I understand saying all the right things, and yes, you're a team player, but you work hard to get on that field, and because the other guys are good too, and you put them on the field, Tom Brady, they end up with Hall of Fame careers, and so, you know, it's serious. It's like I never in a million years thought Tom Brady would replace Drew Bledsoe, but he did. But what I like about BYU, I like the aggressiveness in a lot of these play calls. I mean, they're really going after people, and they've done this, you know, so far in the season. Is when you have a coach that you know wants to dial up like that dagger shot, that one play that just – And it does so much for your confidence as a team. It does so much to build the confidence of the players on the field. Man, you love that when you have a coach that has that mindset and that willingness to do it. But on top of that, Alex, as Jaron said, BYU's got a lot of options. I mean, you got the Nakua brothers, you got
the Romney brothers.
Yes. Well, you got Gunner, you know, as a white, who I really like. I actually am more impressed with Gunner Romney than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
And of course, Pau, who's just, you know, really matured as a player.
Might be the best one on the team.
Could possibly be the best one. And that's not even getting to the running backs
or the tight ends.
Mm-hmm. This is a really, really, really solid. I mean, it's not solid. This is an exceptional BYU offense.
I think on the offensive side of things, it was really good. There were parts that were a little bit annoying about that second half where the defense did not lock down, did not wrap up. And it's interesting, too, because, I mean, South Florida, they roll up there and, you know, no one's giving them a shot, and they know it. They don't care. And these are guys who, out of high school, were recruited by South Florida, Central Florida, You know, some of them, handful of them, are grad transfers from LSU. These guys played high school football in Florida, and they were highly recruited. Just, these guys know how to play ball, and so some of them are way bigger than you. And so the letting up part, I think, got people a little bit nervous there, because BYU had to get a couple of first downs to make sure and lock it out and just kind of take a knee. You talked about something with Jaron, too, when we were just now speaking with him. You said, look, this is a long season, and you're not going to always be perfect. I think about BYU last year, I think it was against UT San Antonio, which is one of those games where they were favored by, three or four touchdowns. And UTSA comes in, I think BYU won 27-21. Zach Wilson didn't have nearly as good of a game as he had in a lot of these other ones. And I thought there are games like that along the way, aren't there?
Every week is its own entity. And you can't read too much into, okay, the team looked like this week, they're going to look like this next week. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is you learn from week to week and you get better. And then the other one is, it's a matchup thing where you're like, yeah, our scheme, our players fits really well with what's going here. You look at year to year, certain teams just seem to have other teams' numbers. You know, when you think of Utah and the Pac-12, and they just always seem to have Stanford's number. USC always seems to have Utah's number, whether, you know, whatever. Oregon seems to have Utah's number. And so matchups sometimes, you know, dictate some of that. But there's also the other side of it, where complacency. And I think that's the thing for this BYU football team that they've got to fight against all the rest of the season. Because it's going to be – the discussion's always going to be about, we're undefeated, right? And they've got a good shot to win most of their games this year, if not all of them. I mean, there's a real shot to win every game this
year.
They're going to have tough games.
Sure.
But they're a really, really good football team, and the way you continue to win is you get rid of that complacency, and you just have complete 100% respect for your opponent throughout the entire game, and you just can never let up because everyone else is going to keep trying.
I think it's funny how expectations change, obviously, for yourself as a team, and they should, right, where you sit and you go – well, we got to readjust our sights here on this, because now BYU's 4-0 and number 13 going into this game against Utah State. And then they have this Utah State, Boise State, Baylor. I mean, these next 3 weeks. And what's interesting is that in all of this, everybody thought Utah State was going to be a little bit more of an easy out. Boise State, everybody knew they were going to be Boise State. But at the same time, it did still feel like it was a rebuild type situation like it was last year a little bit. And it's not necessarily. And then Baylor, who won two games, is suddenly top 25 team. So now you've readjusted. They won two games last year, and you went, yeah, they're still rebuilding. They're trying to figure themselves out there in Waco. Now suddenly BYU, if they win those two games, and then they're 6-0 going down to Waco, where this other team could be staring at them and also ranked top 15 at that point. It's wild how, you know, the season goes, and then everything changes week to week. So let's take another break here. We'll come back with our final discussion points here about what Kalani Sitake wants to do with this team this week going into Utah State. It's not one they can take lightly. Those Friday night games have been tough for BYU there in Logan and in Provo over the last handful of years. Stay right here with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL Unrivaled Players Club, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Got a question for you. Speaking of banking, Alex.
Yeah, what do you got?
So this is a real thing. This did happen, by the way. Okay? Mm. A family in Virginia found a big, giant bag of money in a duffel bag. Well, it was more like a plastic bag. No identification. It's all cash. It's a million dollars.
They found it
on the side of the road. Country road, driving down a country road.
Yeah, that's one you want to stay away from.
No one's going to know.
Okay. Hold on.
No one's around. There's no murderers. There's no nothing.
There's a plastic. Oh, when you, geez. If it was a duffel bag, I'm already like, maybe. Okay. But a plastic garbage bag full of $1 million, those are people who are doing murdering. Okay?
How do you know what the question is?
If I'm going to keep it?
Yeah, are you going to keep the money? It's $1 million. You're going to keep the money?
What
are you
gonna do?
It's cash money. No one will know.
Now here's the good thing. You take it to the police department,
Mm-hmm.
And then they have that. Maybe it's a
take it to the police department.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to keep it.
Well, I know. And guess what they do? Yeah. They go, if this is if nobody comes and claims it, here's what I do. I come back and I go, I found this $10,000. That's what I do. That's my move.
All right.
Where's the $990,000?
That's all I need to know.
There you go. So, oh, so now you figured me out?
Well, no, you're being honest.
Okay, there you go.
This is a question I ask people on my podcast, Helmets Off.
If you found $1 million in a garbage bag.
I have one person in the hundreds of people I've interviewed who says they'd actually keep the money, and I think the rest of them are lying.
Okay, there you go.
I think people...
Mitchell says, yeah, oh yeah, they're all lying. Okay, Scott, I wanted to bring up something Coach Klein is talking today. His comments at his press conference, this is business as usual. So I want you to think about it in that sense. Kalani Sitake, business as usual, just the number 13 team in the country and their head coach. Take a listen.
It's a game against Utah State and a rivalry game that we're looking forward to and missed last year. So I'm happy that we can get this game going and had some really cool interactions with Blake. And I see what he's doing as a head coach and the way he's getting his players to play. They've added some new faces to the roster, but I see a lot of familiar ones as well. So they've been impressed with what I've seen on film, the way they play the game, and they have a lot of explosive athletes. Have a lot of respect for the fan base, too. So it'll be a fun game to go up there, up in Logan, and on a Friday night, and looking forward to the game. But... you know, we'll see how our prep goes this week. We're short a day, just like they are. So, this is a new one for the season. But everyone will have to make adjustments, and we'll have to just get ready with a day less of prep.
You've done you've done those before. The shorter weeks.
Oh yeah.
Are they that?
I'd rather get to the game. Let's go.
Okay, so you're okay.
Actually,
with the short
week. What happens is you don't have as much time and. So you have it's a little bit more predictable what the other team's going to do. So they can't game plan as extensive as they normally can. So you typically see probably a lot of what they did the week before. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just kind of how they do it. So it's not a bad thing, but physically it's hard. It's hard on a shorter week to get yourself ready. And you know, with Jaron, being injured, it's just one less day, and time is kind of your friend just to get better. The thing that's just fascinating to me, one, is what Utah State has done in a very short period of time. I mean, really kind of turned a corner. And I think everyone was anticipating this team was going to struggle, and they weren't. But they've won some big games already this year. They lost last week, but
what's interesting is I watched the first half of that game, and they had a couple of mistakes in there. I say a couple. They had 400 yards of total offense at the half, which, by the way, I don't even think BYU's gotten to 400 yards in any of their
right.
Four games, and they had 0 points. So they had 400 yards. And the CBS broadcast, I think it was like, Bill, have you ever seen a team that got 400 yards and didn't score a point? I was like, nope, because they had a couple of missed field goals. They had a couple of missed opportunities, some turnovers there. But, you know, Boise State's also a team that will pounce on any opportunity. Yeah. And they ended up running away with the thing in the second half, and they won 27-3. But I think that they averaged 530 yards of offense. And that's a team they haven't had to face an offense like that yet. They haven't faced any of those offenses yet that have been able to put up
a lot of those types of numbers.
Yeah. That's a top 10 offense in terms of total yards a game with Utah State, and they're 3-1. I think well ahead of where people thought they were going to be at this time.
Yeah, and you have to respect that. You know, you can't look at it lightly. But I'm hearing Kalani, I'm hearing Jaron, and talking about this big rivalry game, and I don't know that I completely believe it.
Do you think they have to kind of tell themselves to get up for the game?
Well,
in recent memory, though, BYU's been beaten badly by Utah State. These guys were around for some of those beatings.
No, I get that. I just feel like, come on, is this a way to just keep yourself focused and dialed in
Let me educate you on the Utah State rivalry.
There is one rivalry. Okay, I don't want to hear Boise State. I don't want to hear Utah State. There is one rivalry here, and it's Utah and BYU. And it is, okay? That's the only rivalry. And I'm talking
– Okay, but they can't play every week.
No, I know,
and
but
there's
you don't,
levels. You know there's levels.
Levels of
rival.
No.
You know that there's
you have
USC
a
is
rival.
Kind of a rival
and
of you guys.
No, it's not.
Right?
It's not. No. Oh, it's not? Come on. No.
It's going to be two bad teams taking on each other this year in the Coliseum.
And
it's
right? Looking that way. That's for sure. I just think you have your right. Look, Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. You just have your rival. You do.
Yeah, but
USC
teams, okay, but
and
think
UCLA
about the Big Ten,
is
think about
the rivalry.
Big Ten. Think about
end
the Big
of
Ten.
Discussion.
The Big Ten, they're playing for like an axe one week, a wooden barrel the next. Grandpa's old bottle of cough sore up one of the other weeks.
All contrived. Come on,
I know.
It's all contrived.
But
that's
because they've been playing it for 100 years. Well, and that's the same thing with Utah State and BYU. Just let them have the wagon wheel, man.
No, it's a proximity thing. It's in the state of Utah, but it's not.
I will say this. I will concede this. If there are, I get that BYU's most important rivalry is Utah. No one would disagree with that. But
it's not a most important. It's a rival. It's end of discussion. Okay. There's no
you
rivals.
Can't have more than one?
No.
Scott, I've watched the A-Team. I've watched it. Look, think about those 80s action the shows. Where'd
the A-Team come
from? I'm telling you why.
Yeah, please.
Every episode, there's a different bad guy they got to beat, right? And it's just like for that week, that's the most important bad guy.
But he's not their rival bad guy. Like the A-Team probably has one.
But think about, okay, He-Man. So go back to the 80s cartoons. Who was He-Man's, the guy who's always fighting?
I have no idea who.
Skeletor.
And
that's Utah BYU.
You got to go like Superman and who?
But
who?
See, same thing. Batman.
Lex Luthor.
But see, Batman had all sorts of guys he was going up against. But who was his main rival?
Was
it the Penguin or the Joker?
It was the Joker.
But see, Penguin's like a pretty good one.
But he's a good one.
Penguin
but he's
is
not
the Utah State
rival.
Penguin is the Utah State. It's colder up there.
Yes,
has a weird laugh. They're a little bit shorter.
Yeah. They have fins.
Their ice cream is not nearly as good as BYU's. It's fine. I'm okay. And in terms of actual,
they didn't make movies.
I know.
Penguin.
There
they
are
made
yeah,
movies.
They did. No, Danny DeVito was the Penguin.
It was Batman. It wasn't. It was. Look, they made movies of the Joker because the Joker is the rival.
Okay, listen. I'm glad we had this discussion. I'm glad I could educate you on this. And here's another thing. Ready? In terms of rivalries, in terms of teams that are of importance, and you have to tell yourselves that these are in-state rivals. These are the guys playing the games. They know that they're in-state rivals.
You don't have to tell yourself
Yes,
this.
You do.
No, you don't.
Well, you don't have to tell Jaren Hall. Well, it's not really a rival, is it? Of course they are. You know what? The Utah State, they're like, oh, we have... Kalani was like, we really respect that fan base. No, they don't. That's like the meanest fan base. You know why? Utah and BYU can come together on one thing, that Utah State has some bad fans, okay?
Okay.
Absolutely, okay? Now, in terms of important rivalries, it goes like this for BYU. Utah, number one, far and away. And I know you say it's a rival and that's the end of the discussion.
Yes.
But after that, because guess what? Over the next few years, you don't get to play your most important rival. But guess who you do get to play? I think the next most important one is Boise State. And then after that, it's Utah State. That's the order of important games for BYU.
Okay, they're not rivals.
But how could they?
Rival.
But if your rival's not going to play you every year because they act like they're too important,
that's what makes them your rival. And it upsets you, right?
Yeah. When was the last time Ohio State and Michigan said not this year, not for the next 4 years because I got other games I got to play?
I guarantee you, if BYU does not play Utah State on its schedule, they don't sit there and go, "Oh man, we really wish we had that Utah State game."
You are so because
they're just our rival,
Utah has extra rivals, and you're trying to pretend like they don't because they talk about.
I don't.
Kyle Whittingham said it. Which rival? BYU. That's our in-state game.
And that statement alone tells you that BYU is their rival. That he's ignoring it.
Utah Washington State's turning into a rivalry. Fight going back and forth. Lots of fights in that game.
Utah Washington State. Wow.
Let's take the break here.
I think Oregon State's Utah's new rival.
Uh-oh.
I mean, if we just can have any rival we want.
It could be a tough game this year.
Although
are they playing Oregon State this year?
They are in Corvallis.
Oh.
I think Arizona State maybe is Utah's new rival. Maybe Colorado.
Hey, you guys tried to sell Utah
everybody
as
on
as
our
a
schedules
rival.
Now
you
are rival.
You tried to sell Colorado as a rival. All right, we'll come back. Next hour, guess what? We got some Jazz to talk about. Ben Anderson, our Jazz insider from KSLSports.com, is going to chat with us. What do we need to know going into the preseason a couple of weeks from now on this Utah Jazz team? Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Glad to have you with us. Second hour of the program on a Monday. Mondays are always the fun day for us because we have so much to talk about, so much to break down from over the weekend. You just heard our Players Club with BYU's quarterback, Jaren Hall. If you missed any of that, you go back and download the podcast, listen to what he had to say about his availability for this weekend. Although I still, Scott, I'm a little unclear about
it. It was vague.
I will be there. And then he was like, I will be out there. So I'm like taking that as a, I probably am going to be playing in the game. But if you want to go back and listen and kind of maybe break
a
it
lot
down
of things,
for yourself, yeah, you could. He'll be out there warming guys
could
up.
Be out there in the
waving to
outside.
The fans. No, he's going to be there. You said it yourself. These competitors want to play, man. And so if you want to go back and listen to the Players Club, you can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Do it for free. Download the KSL Sports app if you'd like. You can also, if you have the KSL Sports app, read all of the Jazz you can handle, and you're going to start getting a lot as the media day, which then means the preseason is about to fire up, and then preseason, handful of those games, and then you got the regular season. And Ben Anderson, our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com, joins us today. It was a good 6 hours of media day coverage, courtesy of the Jazz. Were you around for all 6 hours of watching that video, Ben?
I missed Derek Alston Jr., but I was in the building. I actually got to see those players,
oh,
but I think Derek Alston went at like 7:55, and I got there at 8:01 a.m. So I caught Justin James, the new two-way player, but I missed poor Derek Alston.
So Shaq says that the biggest concern for L.A., which most people think is the top team in the West, is the Utah Jazz. Where did the Jazz land this offseason? Did they go up? Did they move? Did they go down? Where are the Jazz sitting in the West, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't think they lost ground. Now, you know, that doesn't mean other teams didn't catch them necessarily. I don't think the Jazz got worse in the offseason. I think Rudy Gay is an improvement on George Niang. We'll see what Hassan Whiteside can do as opposed to Derek Favors. But I don't think the Jazz lost ground as far as from a talent standpoint. But, you know, if you get a healthier LeBron James, if you get a healthier Anthony Davis, those are players who can, you know, make the Lakers better and have someone leap them. Or if the Suns are out there and maybe a little bit healthier, and not that they, you know, missed a lot of games from their stars last season, they could potentially jump the Jazz. But I think the Jazz are still really good. I think they should still be a top three team. And with their experience and you know, kind of some of the hard lessons they've learned over the last few years, they could absolutely be the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West.
As you look at what the Jazz have in terms of what they acquired in the offseason, out of all the people they've added to the roster, veteran and otherwise, rookies, whomever, who's going to be that impact person right off the bat where they go, where we're going to go, ooh, I like this addition for the Jazz this year?
You know, I think Rudy Gay is probably the easy answer. Mm-hmm. And I'll be curious, actually, how much we see some of these different players in the preseason. I imagine we'll see Trent Forrest. I imagine we'll see Jared Butler. The fact that Butler didn't get to play in summer league, and I think the Jazz want to see what he has, might really give him an opportunity to get on the floor, maybe quickly in summer league. And by all reports, he's played well in kind of the OTAs, and Quinn Snyder liked him coming out of the draft. So, you know, there's a few options that could set there. But you know what? Everyone talked today about how well Eric Pascal has played, and Quinn Snyder wasn't, you know, going to commit to having a 10-man rotation, which is probably what it would require to get Pascal on the floor. But everyone talked about how well he's played so far, and he brings a little bit something different as a playmaker at his size. So the Jazz could use a guy like that can play three positions in the front court. So maybe somebody steps up and carves out a niche. I think Rudy Gay, we know, is going to play. We think Hassan Whiteside is going to play. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch if Forrest or if Butler or if a guy like Eric Pascal can just play so well that they force themselves into the rotation.
What's the next evolution of Donovan Mitchell's game? Where's he got to take his game?
I think it's just, again, it's like a handicap in golf. You're just trying to lower it a little bit, and that just comes to efficiency. You know, it's just fewer bad nights, and he had very few last year. You know, he shot 38% from the three-point line. Maybe he shoots 40% this year. You know, and that's just taking one fewer bad threes and turning that into an assist or, you know, half an assist a game and raising that three-point shooting percentage to 40% like we see him do so often in the playoffs. Now, he doesn't need to score 40 points a game like he does in the playoffs, but he can certainly get a little bit more efficient during the regular season. Then again, you know, he missed the final 20 games of the season, and the Jazz finished with the best record in the regular season. So he's almost as good as it gets when it comes to playing that position right now.
Ben, I'm going to play a little clip here from Rudy Gobert. We talk about guys who've got a lot of goals and guys who work hard in the offseason. He's at the top of the list, I think, if you follow him on social media or if you see what he's doing and the work he's putting in. Here's what Rudy had to say about his desires to win a title.
I mean, I'm not super, super, super satisfied of silver medal. I'm really happy of the experience. And obviously what we did for the country, I think, was huge for the game of basketball in France. So it was great. I'm excited to be here. And, you know, and we have bigger goals, winning a championship. And I hope one day also I'm be able to hold that gold medal, too.
Gold medal, NBA title. Why not? Why not have them both? Is this a guy who, I mean, he's speaking of guys who've evolved over their career, that's somebody who's certainly gotten better and better and better every year. So what's the next level for Rudy then to get to?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rudy's got to continue to, you know, get a little bit more versatile on the defensive side of the ball. I think some of that scheme for Quinn Snyder, I don't think all that falls on Rudy. There's really not a better defensive player on earth than what Rudy Gobert does. There's more agile players like Ben Simmons and Draymond Green, but you know, impact, no one does it better than Rudy does right now. So I think it's just a matter of putting him in positions to succeed. You know, honestly, you know, outside of, you know, free throw shooting, again, to talk about, you know, boring percentages, I don't know how much Rudy Gobert can do better from what the Jazz are going to allow him to do. He's never going to shoot jump shots, never going to step out to the three-point line. He's never going to be a playmaker. They're never going to ask him to put the ball on the floor. What he does, he's just about perfect at it. He sets incredibly good screens. He knows how to do how to time them. He catches lobs now. His hands have gotten so much better from when he first got into the NBA. What he does, he's just so good at it at this point, and that's why the Jazz do win so many games during the regular season. Is there a potential that he's limited in the playoffs where you can't do certain things or teams can game plan around him when you have seven games? I think that's a good argument because we've seen it for a couple of seasons. It's not like anyone's actually playing him off the floor like the narrative has stated, but you know, you can probably change up how you attack the Jazz in a playoff series, but there just might not be that much room to grow for Rudy Gobert. But if he continues to play this way, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he needs three more years at this level, and he's a lock to be in the Hall of Fame if he's not already there already. So, I mean, that's wow, how good Rudy Gobert already is.
So what concerns you about the Jazz this year?
I still think there's questions about the perimeter defense. Quinn Snyder today did talk about some of the advanced numbers on Rudy Gay that, you know, he was pretty impressive in San Antonio because he's so long and he's so big with what he does on the perimeter. But if you talk to people who watched him night in and night out in San Antonio, they said it was pretty questionable what he could do. Now, again, they don't have a rim protector behind him in San Antonio as good as Jakob Poeltl's turned into as an NBA player. He's certainly not Rudy Gobert blocking shots. And having a guy like that will make you better as a perimeter defender. So, you know, they didn't go out and find that guy necessarily during the offseason. That was their main issue against the Clippers over those last four games of that series. They just could not stay in front of anybody. And that could easily come back to haunt them again, you know, coming up in May, coming up at the end of this season. If the Jazz don't find a way to stay in front of somebody, they're going to lose again. They won't make it to the finals. So that's going to be the biggest question, and you just aren't going to know if it's fixed until you get to the playoffs.
Ben, last question here for you. I mean, one of the things that I think we all looked at and we went, yeah, there's no – I don't think we were all talking at this point last year saying – the Jazz will probably have the best record in the regular season in the NBA. So
what you talking about? I thought that.
Scott says he did, but I don't. We'll have to check the tape. But what can Jazz fans expect in terms of like what a real expectation of this team is this year in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, the baseline was set last year. You have to get back to the second round of the playoffs, and you should win your first round playoff series easily. I mean, the Jazz are so much better than the teams that they are going to be playing 5, 6, 7, 8. So they need to be getting home court advantage. And then they really do need to be better than whoever they're facing. It shouldn't necessarily be close. And look, you know, the Clippers made the conference finals and struggled with Dallas and needed 6 games to beat the Jazz. It's not like it's ever easy, but the Jazz are good enough and they have this experience and they've got the payroll and they've got the all-star level players that they just should not be struggling to advance in the playoffs at this point. The same way Karl Malone and John Stockton, by the time they got to the mid-90s, they just had to be good enough. You couldn't have these awkward first-round exits like they had a couple of times early in their careers. The Jazz have to be better than that. So you have to at least be a second-round team, and it's going to be disappointing, I think, if they get eliminated there again.
Ben, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to reading this year's lines from you, and we appreciate you joining the program again. You can go over to kslsports.com and read up all the write-ups of today's media day, all the reveals, everything there. So, Ben, thanks for taking the time, man. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's take the break. Cowboys up 27-7. They're just stomping the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Sirianni wearing the Beat Dallas shirts. Might have been a problem. We'll come back. Hey, Jeremiah Jessen from KSL5 Television is going to walk in the studio. We've got a lot to talk to him about, including the tragedy of Aaron Lowe's death this weekend in Salt Lake, and now where the University of Utah football team goes from here and how they get past this massive tragedy as a team. Stay with us. More to go on.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Kurian joining us this segment. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL TV. I'm just trying to figure out, because a week ago I hated football. Hated it, football. Hated it. And, of course, you know, my team won this weekend. It was kind of ugly, seven fumbles later. But they won, and I was happy about it. So why is it that we always feel better? Like, and I mean, like, life better when our team wins. Like, why can't it just not matter? Why can't it just be like, you know, life goes on and you don't have these emotional highs and lows based on how your team does? Or maybe I'm just the only person in the world that feels that way.
Maybe winning makes you feel good. Makes you happy. Losing makes you sad. It's that simple. Even if you're not even the one
that's
winning,
you
have nothing to do.
Take notes, Scott.
You have nothing to do with your favorite team winning a football game, but you feel like you did it,
right? Scott pouts. See, yeah, Scott's a powder too. Like the weekend, I get those texts.
Terrible.
We're the worst. We're just not good right now.
See, but that's the thing is that like when you have your team, it's fun. I was watching Jeremiah's Broncos yesterday,
3-0,
and I thought to myself. See?
Look at that.
Don't I have an extra bounce in my step?
Yes, you do.
Like sparkling. I mean,
somebody could argue, that the orange in your tie might have a little bit of a theme going on to it.
There's orange in there. Yes. Oh, yes, you caught that. And my blue suit with the little orange in my tie.
See? Now we know what's going on.
And he
on.
Rode to work on a horse. You know,
that was also, that's what we call a tell.
That was kind of a throw.
Well, so there's the part where when your team wins, you're feeling pretty good. I think BYU fans are feeling pretty good right now. Over the weekend, obviously the massive tragic news that comes to the University of Utah football family with Aaron Lowe's passing and the circumstances that surround it with a shooting and no suspects currently and all these things that are on top of it. And the fact that this team lost a player, different circumstances, but to gun violence still. I mean,
two childhood friends.
Two guys who knew each other, went to the same school.
It's bizarre.
One convinces one to go to the school. One wears the number to honor the one who had passed and received his scholarship. And then to have to deal with this in a 10-month span for this football program, how on earth do they move forward after a second tragic incident like this?
They have to. How do any of us do it? We've all had to deal with to different levels probably. I mean, everybody's had something in their life that's been devastating that they've had to deal with. I feel so bad for these coaches and players who have to deal with it twice in such a short period of time. But, I mean, it's unfortunately, the circumstances, it's senseless, it's awful. But just talking about having to deal with adversity in your life and death, I mean, sports kind of teach us these lessons in some way, is you've got to overcome adversity. And this group right now, I mean, the timing... It's awful, but they have a week to process this before they have to start thinking about football again. And I'm grateful for that for them. But life teaches you that when you go through difficult things in life, you have to get back up and you have to move forward. And that's unfortunately, these young men and this coaching staff have to do that coming up here in a week. They have to continue with this season, and I'm sure they'll be inspired to play for Aaron as they do so.
One of the things that... Utah has done to honor Ty Jordan. You know, you always see people having a moment of silence, and at the end of the third quarter, they've decided to stand up and shout and cheer and celebrate life and how great it is and the impact that people have on us. And I think kind of flipping the script a little bit and finding a way to turn this into a positive thing, because I would have to believe that these young men who have passed away, they'd say, look, we don't want you to sit around feeling sorry for yourself. We want you to to get up and honor us by moving on. That's the harder thing to do, is to keep playing, to keep fighting, to keep going, and celebrate, you know, what impact we had on you, and celebrate our lives and know that our life was not, you know, lived in vain, and that something good can come out of this. And that was what that whole celebration was about, was moving forward in life and trying to be better and trying to take advantage and seize every moment and live your best life, you know, every day as much as you possibly can. I mean, because I when these things happen to me, it gets so frustrating because it's so senseless, you know, and it's like, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And it's like, how can people just kind of lose that sight and focus on that, you know, there, this is a final thing, that those acts end everything. And it doesn't have to be that way. And we just need to find ways to sit down,
yeah,
and have discussions and talk through things and just take a few deep breaths and just, you know, slow down just a bit. I mean, I think about my own self, where I get on the freeway and, you know, and if someone passes me or cuts me off or drives really, really, really slow in the left lane, you know, it you know, maybe I need to evaluate my own self, you know, and just say, hey, maybe the dude's having a bad day.
Why are you getting so upset about this thing, yeah, right? This, right, is something, yeah, we have to kind of talk, yeah, to ourselves about all the time. I just think about how terrible, on top of it, just like, you know, how do you even plan for football, like you were saying, in terms of the timing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I know they're practicing this week because that's what they have to do. They have to just go right back, and it's a different week of practice because they don't have an opponent this week, but they still have to meet together and have their meetings. Shorter practices, but I mean, we're going to be talking with Devin Kaufusi tomorrow, and yeah, and it's like, it's hard. I mean, this is one of those things that you never anticipate. It's awful, and you know, I know that his mom is and his family are just going through such.
Yeah, she spoke with KSL TV today, and it's gut wrenching. She's just trying to. She's come here now. She's in Salt Lake City. She wants to find justice for her son, and watching her. The tears in her eyes and the suffering and the pain that she's going through. His father did TV interviews in Texas, and you see the pain. Just think of all the pain that has been caused by this, and it's just gut-wrenching. And, yeah, you want justice for Aaron, and I'm certain that there's a lot of people now working
leads,
to get
though?
That.
No new leads still?
Nothing that they're talking about, yeah, or sharing. I'm sure they have some things going on, and there was plenty of witnesses to, sure, what happened.
That's why I think
so.
Wondering what's,
why there's a lot of information to be gathered, and I'm sure they'll take their time and they'll figure this out. But I don't think it'll be long. But I don't have anything new as far as that they're willing to release at this point.
Well, I think what's hard too is Ty Jordan's family. You know, they're trying to recover and heal,
I'm sure,
from
this
everything.
Opens
and
up
it just
that
opens
wound.
That all up because, you know, Aaron was the recipient of the, yeah, Memorial Scholarship, and it was well thought of. From
they
his
know Aaron too.
And,
they're friends. Yeah, I just yeah. Why?
Could you imagine? Jeez.
I just can't process it. My heart goes out to him.
What's going on tonight on KSL 5 television? Got this Monday night game. It's turning, yeah, out to be a little bit closer than we thought, but Dallas is still looking really, really sharp, and Dak Prescott is unbelievable for a guy who just came back from that injury.
The pride of Bingham High, Dalton Schultz got a touchdown.
Yes.
Football, so we'll show you that. And the Utah Jazz had some kind of event today.
Not sure.
I promise you will hear interviews with Donovan Mitchell and other Jazz players, maybe Quinn Snyder tonight at 10.
I love how Rudy doesn't just want a world championship. He doesn't just want
a silver medal either.
No, he wants a gold medal, baby. He doesn't, yeah, want a silver medal. Come on, man. I love how he's
competitor.
Still
competitor.
That guy carries those grudges forever.
That's
so.
Why he's great.
All right, you'll see those interviews tonight on KSL 5 Television. JJ, thanks for hanging out,
you
man.
Got it.
Appreciate it. We'll come back. We got more going on. We got our NFL roundup around the corner. Zach Wilson. That another week with the kid at the helm for the Jets, and all hope is now lost, according to Jets fans. I don't know how they even had it back in the first place, but here we are. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. This hour of the program was recorded this very afternoon, and you're the first person to hear it. Congratulations.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade-A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. It is The NFL Roundup. Lots of NFL to discuss from over the weekend. Do you find yourself watching? Do you find it's harder to watch NFL when you have? You're covering the Utes, you know, on Saturdays, and so then do you think to yourself, "Oh, it's too much football," or do you allow yourself to just veg on Sunday?
I love to watch some of it. Just depends, you know, what things are going on.
Yeah, what you can pick up.
Loved watching the Ryder Cup, but
My heavens!
I just find it fascinating that at this time of year,
yeah.
You're 3-4 weeks into it, and you start to see trends, right? You see teams emerging as good teams.
Well, once they get to four games next week, you go, we're a quarter way through the season here.
But what you see is you see the really good teams usually slip up. So it's not surprising, like you see
like the Chiefs
lose. Yeah. It's not surprising you see the Ravens should have lost kind of thing.
Or the flip side, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right.
Or the flip side where you go,
Aaron Rodgers, man, he's terrible week one. And then these last 2 weeks, he does Aaron Rodgers things, and they're good.
And these are those little indicators, and you know what they tell you? They tell you the football season is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long jog. And if you try to sprint through that first mile, you're toast for, you know, the next 25 miles. And that's one of those tough things. And as a player, you just learn how to pace yourself emotionally through a season. That's the biggest key, is understanding the emotion.
Okay, what about the part where Zach Wilson, as soon as you came in today, I said, dude, Zach Wilson, they got to be 26-0. And your question was, tell me again where they played. And I said, at Denver. And what was your response to that?
My response was, that was a pretty good score for the Jets in a rookie.
Well, you said, man, he's going to get his butt kicked. He's going to get his butt kicked in that situation.
That environment, it's one thing to go to Carolina. It's one thing to be at home against Bill Belichick, but it's another thing to go to Mile High Stadium. It's a thing. One of the best fan bases and passionate, and the Broncos are playing with massive
confidence.
They're
really good right now, yeah.
And they've got a great defense to start with. So you get in that environment as a rookie quarterback, and it's almost overwhelming to feel like you're going to have any shot of winning. I could have predicted that from a mile
he
away.
He had a pick. Look at you with working a mile. I'm really proud of you. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's good. Look at the smile on your face. You're such a doofus.
Well, no, because it just came to me in the moment.
It's good. Like, man.
Just thinking about it.
You're like an improv comedian, improv comedian over here. Yeah. Hey, what do you tell fans who are obviously looking at Zach Wilson here locally, and they're going, well, I guess his career is over. He's terrible. Is that what you think? Well, I mean, you're talking about trends.
It's not the trend part. It's the marathon part. Zach Wilson's probably exactly where he needs to be as a rookie.
Losing games.
Guys will have up and down years, and they may statistically look halfway decent. Joe Burrow, when he started a year ago, looked kind of bad when he started out. He got a feel, he kind of got going. Then he got injured. Justin Herbert, who won a big game this past weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, he couldn't win that game a year ago.
That's interesting.
Like, he couldn't win. It's almost impossible.
He didn't know enough.
He wasn't seasoned enough.
Yeah.
All this is preheating the oven. This is just putting the season on that big old brisket you're gonna smoke for the next.
Right.
It really is, and it's all of what makes it great. It's just a long, long process.
So Trevor Lawrence is also 0-3, and he has joined a group of two other quarterbacks in the history of first pick overall quarterbacks to throw for at least two interceptions all three of their first starts and lose all three of their first starts. Yeah. And in that company is Troy Aikman, Hall of Fame, and Peyton Manning. Even more impressive Hall of Fame. Peyton Manning threw 8 interceptions through his first 3 games as a starting quarterback.
If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, ask yourself this question. Would you be willing to go through this for this year and have Trevor Lawrence be a multi-Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Of course you would take that 10 out of 10 times. Well,
right?
and
that's just how it is with these young quarterbacks. It's just, I mean, Troy Aikman just got abused his rookie year. And Peyton Manning was good, but he was terrible, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
None of this scares me. None of this bothers me. None of this – it doesn't even faze me. I actually was Zach Wilson. So if you want to talk about watching the NFL, I have not even had any interest in watching Zach Wilson.
Not because you don't want to follow it.
I just know it's like I will tune in to Zach Wilson next year.
Because this year's a throwaway.
It's just hilarious to me. It's like, and it's not that I don't
care. All the Jets fans this week said it's another year and we're never going to be good. We're awful. We're going to be terrible. We'll never be good. We're a cursed franchise. Yeah, that's what we got out of this weekend from Jets fans.
But they cannot expect after 3 weeks a rookie quarterback and a team that's not like – it's not like this team is full of
the rest
great
of the team's
talent.
Garbage, yeah.
Look, they're better off losing and getting a really nice draft pick, and they just get another guy, and they get another guy to get another piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, maybe another quarterback. Hey, who knows?
Look at Cleveland, because I'll tell you a guy who's actually playing pretty good is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you.
We kind of wrote him off.
Everyone wrote him off, but all of a sudden you get Myles Garrett, and you start getting a couple of these. You get OBJ, and you get Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
But and you start getting the pieces put together, and then all of a sudden, boom! It's just like it just happens. The magic happens. The spark happens, and then the confidence comes, and then you start learning how to win, and you start learning how to consistently win, and then you start learning how to win in the playoffs, and it's just a massive process, but. Jets fans, just unfortunately have never had enough. The Cleveland Browns were bad for a long, long time.
Let me play you a little something from this weekend. Taysom Hill got a touchdown rush. They've asked him to come in and basically do what he's been doing the last couple seasons. After the game, he was asked about, okay, so how have you felt going back into that role that you thought you were going to leave behind, you hoped to leave behind to be a starter? Here's what he had to say after the game with the Saints beating the Patriots at their place.
Your mindset when it was time to switch back to that, were you immediately willing to do whatever they asked of you? Was it tough to switch back into that mode?
I mean, yeah, I'd be lying if I wanted to have the opportunity to play quarterback, but it wasn't my time, and so you got to find ways to help the team win, and so with that in mind, I was happy to step into a role that gave us an advantage and help us win, and it's been all go since then for sure.
It's never going to be his time to be a quarterback.
Uh-oh.
I hate to say it, and I don't mean that in a bad way. He's just too old. He really should feel fortunate and blessed to have the amazing career that he's having and will continue to have. I mean, he can be an impact player for the Saints for quite some time.
Right.
Can still kind of be that occasional starting quarterback for them, unless something just dramatic happens, like Jameis Winston, season-ending injury, and they're just absolutely forced to play Taysom Hill for a long period of time, and then maybe he does develop into that guy. Highly unlikely, but there's just certain throws you just can't make, and you got to be able to make all of them if you're going to live in the NFL.
Here was the big one from the weekend, though. Everybody was so excited about this play, and frankly, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, it's not music to the ears.
66-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is good! Crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good! Time has expired. Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history. The hay is in the barn, and it's mayhem on the field.
The hay is in the barn, and the mayhem's in the field, as they call it.
For a long time, I didn't know what the hay in the barn meant.
You're from Springville? You don't want that? Come
I know,
on, man.
Because my basketball coach from Springville used to say, boys, the hay's in the barn.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what does that mean? Is that a good or bad
thing? Are we eating hay tonight? Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So, well, Justin Tucker hits now, a 66-yard. Yeah, now you know what it means.
Yeah, it's like
I felt so bad for the Lions. Dan Campbell, there should have been a delay of game penalty, but it seems such a cheap thing because then no one wanted to talk about the delay of game penalty because – you got to see a 66-yard field goal get made in the most ridiculous fashion that you could make it, hitting off that crossbar and going through, and Detroit Lions fans just get their hearts ripped out again.
It's one of those dramatic moments. You replay it in slow motion.
Are you ready for a new home? University Federal Credit Union can help you get the keys to your new place
with
experienced mortgage consultants and free home appraisals. Home buying is already options.
And then it slowly goes down.
It was tough. It was tough to watch.
66 yards is
pretty cool.
It's a bomb.
And look, that's not like that's not in Denver.
No,
that's in Detroit.
Yeah,
indoors in the dome, and so you get no help from the wind. It's a legit 66-yarder. So, Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Our two-minute drill's around the corner. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey here. It is the two-minute drill, the end of the show. One of the most important things in all of life is to finish. Finish whatever you start. Finish it. See it through. And that's what this is all about. The
you
end
know,
of the show.
I wanted to bring something up to you about the Ryder Cup.
Oh.
I want to ask you. I haven't asked you. All week. We've been in the building the whole time together. You mentioned it for like a brief second in the last segment, but...
Was going to be my MVP today because
we didn't have MVPs.
I know.
Jaren Hall and the Players Club. Come on, man. That's the MVP.
That's the MVP.
But that's what I was going to say. Is that
yeah? But
that,
then I'd have to give the MVP to
you. Don't want to do it
to Romney. then Jaren's going to feel
yeah,
bad.
Yeah. You didn't want it. You know, do it tomorrow. Give it to Baylor Romney tomorrow. What I was going to say was, we wrote off Team USA, didn't we? Like,
yeah,
because of all the drama that was surrounding it, and all the like the dramatics, the whatever, and Europe came in all with swaggery.
They go, you guys, we have your number. You're not going to put it together.
Never win.
You don't,
yeah,
bunch of selfish, entitled individuals.
And I think they at least tied. I think the record of the gap.
U.S. smoked them.
They killed them.
Smoked them.
I'm just glad.
You know
about
the best part about it?
What?
Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau hugged each other.
Yes, they did.
At the end.
It was
a little awkward. It was a little bit of a man hug, a little bit of tap on the back of the shoulder. But
you know what?
Still they
hugged. We'll take it.
Yes.
And in the end, we just go, hey, whatever the beef is you guys have, put it aside here. I'm trying to think of what's comparable. Scott, what is comparable to Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka putting their hate aside for the love of country? Or,
you know, I'll tell you what it is.
I'm trying to think of what
it would be. It's when BYU and Utah play in football and they run the flags out.
Yes.
They run the flag out for the Ty
Jordan. For Ty Jordan.
Yeah, it's kind of in that same vein.
It's when the flyover happens.
Yeah.
At the game this last year or this last fall between BYU and Utah. And it scared the heck out of everybody, by the way, because it was so dang loud.
Massively loud,
but it was one of those moments. Everyone went, okay, we're here for all the right reason. Yeah. Whatever happens, we just want Europe to lose in the Ryder Cup.
So my favorite part of the Ryder Cup,
yeah,
was Bryson DeChambeau has his driver out, right, drivable par four, and he's talking to his caddy. Caddy says, "Look, this is a helping wind, and we hit driver. Oh, we flew the green.
Ooh,"
and he goes, "Oh." So he puts the driver back
in
his bag.
He didn't get a 3-wood out, did he?
And he got the 3-wood out. And everyone goes, exactly. And he says, relax, people. I'm still going at the green here.
He felt like it was disappointing.
No, the fans were disappointed.
No, see, I knew he was going for the 3-wood because he had to back it off a little bit.
Right, but the fans thought he's just going to lay it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
And he goes, relax, everybody. I'm still going for the green.
I love that idea. I love that. Just hit the green, no problem.
Yes.
Team USA wins, and we all win if you're American. All right. And you know what that music means. So it's that time of the night, like I said. What is the time of the night then? Please explain it.
Oh, I will be happy to. All right. Well, late in a football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Aaron Rodgers hurried, by the way. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home, happy with the trophy, 2 COVID shots, a peanut butter bar. Always got to have one of those.
Sure.
Some, I don't know, we'll throw in a little bit of... cucumber water, maybe?
Oh, okay. So this weekend, I was looking at desserts, and I thought, Scott needs to incorporate some of these in there. Because we've done the lava cake.
Yes.
The peanut butter bar.
Yes.
And there was
What's your favorite, like, Cheesecake Factory cheesecake? Are you a cheesecake person?
Yeah.
I'm a massive cheesecake guy.
Yeah. Probably the Oreo. Probably that Oreo one.
See, I just want the one that's the biggest one. And I think it's the red velvet cake.
Is it, like, tall?
It just has a lot to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the dulce leche or
dulce
whatever.
Dulce de leche.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey, so...
whatever you said.
You know what Aaron Rodgers, after the after they won that... He was interviewed after the game by Michelle Tafoya on the field after that win last night. And he said, how can you not be romantic about football, man? And he said it like he was, he's like staring down America and going, how can you not be romantic about about football, man?
When you get in those situations.
Well, that was romantic. Yeah, sure. I was like.
I don't know that romantic is the right word.
People had no idea how to like take it.
Yeah,
because
it's like.
He goes, and they were talking about Mason Crosby. He goes, I sit next to that guy on the plane, and I have for years, and yeah. I sit next to him on the buses. He's like my best friend. I love this guy, and yeah. He's a great human. And, man, how can you not be romantic about football?
Yeah. As great a human as Mason Crosby is, I just want to fix his helmet.
Oh,
his
yeah.
His helmet just looks like,
down,
it just
like,
looks
it's
like,
so tipped
yeah,
down.
And it's just like, ah, that just doesn't
now,
look
I was
like
going to ask
fits.
You this, because they
oh, it
they,
drives me nuts.
They said during the game, they go, yeah, but you don't always say this about kickers, but he's really respected in the locker room. And I thought, is that true? Is that
yes.
a thing?
No, I'll tell you why. Because kickers in the NFL... Like, you get booted if you're not any good. No pun
right.
intended
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. And when you have a normal kicker and you have someone that's just a solid individual,
yeah.
you think of Adam Vinatieri or, you know, some of these
well,
longstanding.
Justin Tucker, who we were just talking yeah. about, he's made 50 straight yeah. since 2014 in the fourth quarter yeah. and in overtime.
A good kicker and a good punter, if they're really good in the locker room, are usually pretty good dudes. When you get weird ones, that gets
that's tough.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a
because they do win games for you, and you do appreciate that.
Yeah. Next up on the old 2-minute drill here. Yes, he's going to get another chance, Josh Gordon. I told you, he was my MVP. No, don't get mad about it. They're giving him another shot. I'm all about guys. In his case, it's not somebody who's. Doing a bunch of domestic violence on the side. It's the guy has a substance abuse problem, and they've given him another shot. I know it's like the seventh shot.
Give me another shot.
Oh, playing in the NFL?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
that's the thing is
giving
that you know how it is.
Giving everybody another shot at
you
it.
You know how it is.
Like,
if
like,
somebody still has the
I
talent.
I have a weight issue.
Yeah.
You know, I got my own demons.
That's what's keeping you back, huh? I just need to lose a few extra pounds of soda.
It's a
and
thing.
And then I'm back on.
It's a thing.
So you've been doing that to make an NFL squad? Is
yeah.
not to be like,
no,
not to live a little longer?
No, I'm doing it so I can live longer. But I mean, if they're just letting people back because they have demons
they
and they have
it.
All these issues, like, give me another shot.
Scott's like, I'm a couple pounds overweight. You going to let me back on the practice squad? My heavens.
I don't know how to take the practice squad. But
Oh, yeah. See, now you're getting picky, too.
Well, yeah.
On top of it.
Oh.
I don't know why
Fine.
This makes me laugh so much.
I'll be humble. I'll go on the practice squad.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like blown away by all this. Oh, yeah, man. He's, you know about Scott, though, right? Hey, I wanted to play this one. David Letterman was at Kevin Durant's Media Day. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I just got off the phone with the Dolan family, and they said that they're talking to the commissioner now. They're looking at working a contractual deal that will allow you, when you're not playing for the Nets, days off, you'll be able to play for the Knicks. Comments?
All right, Dave, that was the last one.
I'm sorry, was that a comment?
That was it.
How about you? Do you have a comment? Wrap it up. Okay. I'm being told my time is done. Have a great year. What about the Pelicans? When you guys play the Pelicans, does it kind of make you giggle?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all I got.
Wow. Dave Letterman.
Like, when you play the Pelicans, does that make
Can
you giggle?
Can you on your days off play for the Knicks? All right, Dave, that's enough. I love how a PR person got on there and was like, wrap it up to yeah. David Letterman.
I know.
Come on, man.
None of it is serious.
I love it. All right. Scott, did you have fun tonight?
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to go work out so I can get back in the NFL.
Yes. On the practice squad.
Yeah. I'll go home, do push-ups and sit-ups.
All right. We'll see. For Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, we'll talk to you tomorrow night, everybody. We'll be back for another edition. Devin Cafusi from the University of Utah joining us tomorrow on the Players Club. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. We'll see you then.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.